And welcome to the Half Guard. Your host, Mitch Pomp. Co-host Dan Ford. Dan, I forgot to tell you, I got a special guest this
week. Oh, what is it?
See if I can find him here. I think he wants to come out next week. Next week, I think we're going to get our special guest. It's definitely not because I don't have a phone on me and can't play his name right now.
I was almost about to get off my deathbed and be excited.
Yeah, let's get into that. We didn't have a show last week because got involved in a dog fight. Right? You were at Michael Vick's house. Dog got loose.
Sure. I mean, that's one way of putting it. And it was a first round knockout. And I was the loser in this dog fight. I don't think we've talked about it a ton on the show because obviously I'm a little squeamish about it.
Yeah.
But my day job is I will say I work in and leave that at that. I work
like,
in real
estate. Like Donald Trump, like our president.
Yeah. I'm just like Donald Trump.
Making deals, baby.
I was measuring a property. And I walked around the back of a house, and this is a thing in my line of work where when you drive up to somebody's house and you go, oh hey, you got a dog? Would you mind putting him up or tying him up or something? And most people would be like, oh yeah, brother, whatever. And then you go around to the front of the house, you give him a little bit of time to tie the dog up, and then you pull out your tape and you start measuring the home.
Yeah.
Well, I walk around the back of this house. It's a big house. This is a real big ass house. You know, it's been about 10 minutes since. Or not 10 minutes. It's been about 5 minutes. I told the guy, hey, you need to tie your dog up. And I'm coming around the back of the house. And behind me, I hear something coming. And I go, oh, I wonder what that is. And then, bang, I have a dog latched on my calf. And I'm spinning now, trying to, like, get this dog off of me. As it just sinks in on the back of my calf. And there's another thing about my job that people need to know is if you are in the business where you have to measure homes as part of your job, it is always good to keep a clipboard or something heavy because you never know when you might have to beat the shit out of a dog with a clipboard.
Yeah, or I'm gonna maybe swat away a big.
Mostly dogs, though. Okay. I mean, that's what they tell you in real estate school.
I feel like down here you might run it. Do you have bugs up there in Carolina?
We have yellow flies that are very bad.
What is that, just like a bee?
They're about the size of a silver dollar, and they're yellow, and they will bite the piss out of
you. So a yellow jacket.
They're not a yellow jacket. Yellow jackets have stingers. Okay. These bite, which means they can keep biting you. Mm. There's not like a one sting and then
one
they're
and done.
Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just keep latching onto you and biting sucking all the blood out of your body. But yeah, I have to fight this dog off with a clipboard. I head back towards the front of the house where the owner of the home is engaging in conversation with my partner who I work with. And I have a reputation in my business for being and people who listen to this show will be very stunned to hear this. I have a reputation for being extremely friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say also soft-spoken.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to be a sort of fellow who goes, yes, sir, where would you like me to stand right now?
Yeah, southern.
Very, almost polite to the point of being condescending.
Mm-hmm.
I would say if I'm going to judge myself, to say sometimes I lay it on a little thick where it comes across like I'm kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
I'm being so polite. But I come walking up to this man. The dog has let me be. And he's in the middle of talking to my partner. And I look at him and I say, sir, your dog needs to be locked up now. He just bit me. And this is going to get bad if you don't. Which, for me,
sir,
that was very
which is
surprising.
Still, like, the thing we made
which is
of
still...
Like, sir, Mr. Which, Trump, will you stop hanging me? Sir.
I mean, sir... And suddenly he's like, oh, God, oh. It's like, this is going to be bad. Take care of this. But yeah, like I turn into an Aaron Sorkin character when I'm bit by a dog, as I've now learned. And, that meant that I had to spend the rest of that, when I got home that day. See, I'm also a moron, which, as anybody who listens to this show, that you can believe.
That we know, yeah, that I'm not really.
I continued to work the rest of the day.
Because you're a hard-working American.
Sure. I
bootstrap.
Never let somebody say that lefties don't have work ethic. I continued to work despite having a leg that was dripping blood instead of going to urgent care like a normal person.
Something It's Troops.
Yeah, Troops would sit there and complain and go to their socialized hospital.
Yeah, they would get medical and all this stuff. You just kept, you're braver than the Troops. So, not me, maybe some may see.
I'm literally, you know, braver than
you are.
Than
you're
all
a home trooper. You're a real estate trooper.
But, you know, I'm also an idiot, because if I'd have just gone to urgent care then, my leg wouldn't have swollen, you know, up, and I wouldn't have had a fever.
I think it's around the time I get in for
your Yeah, 15. I get home around 8:15. Urgent care closes at 8 o'clock. That's the big thing. Because if I'd have gone to the doctor then, I could have gone into urgent care and paid $20.
Yeah.
And they could have dressed it and given me medication then. And told me that, look, you'll be okay, or we're going to start looking into whether this dog has rabies or not.
Yeah.
Instead, I wait until 8 o'clock, and that means I have to go to the emergency to go get treatment.
Yeah.
Which, guess what my bill was?
Really cheap, right? Because you don't assume you have health insurance, and that means you're a hardworking man.
I do have health insurance. I even have Obamacare.
Ooh.
$975.
Well worth it, Dan.
Which I, when I found out that's how much it was going to cost me, I did what any American would do and said, I'm a peace and wake up tomorrow. But that was after 3 hours of waiting in the emergency room before this idiot decided to ask somebody how much this was going to end up costing. Instead of doing that up
front. You should have done the most American thing, Dan. Which is, well, not going to pay this one.
So I leave the emergency room around 11 o'clock. Go to the Walmart, which again, I am so American, and buy some medicated Band-Aids, which I then slap on a wound that is that is still a little bloody.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the blood has gone out because I have had a bandage on it, but I decided, well, I better get some Band-Aids and some Neosporin on it. That'll help me.
Yeah.
And then woke up the next morning and went to urgent care, where luckily I could tell everybody all I had to do.
Well, did you? Well, Dan, I think what everyone here is wondering, did you have that poor dog put to sleep?
I did turn that dog in.
Ooh.
Absolutely.
Snitch?
Well, in North Carolina, you have to.
You hear that, Dan? Woof, woof. That's the racist watchdog. Because what color was that dog? Was it white or was it brownish?
It looked like it had some yellow lab.
So it was a dog of color.
No, it's the opposite. That was a Caucasian dog.
The yellow, that's Asian. That's still a person of color, Dan.
Now, golden retrievers are as has been established by online, that is the white.
No,
the
whitest dog is
a... Nah, golden retrievers are whiter.
Nah, the racist watchdog is barking at you right now, Dan.
But yeah, so I wasn't able to record the show because I was in the emergency room. And then when I came home, I spent all night with a fever because... dog bites are evidently not healthy for you.
And do you have rabies now? Have you entered that magic world?
Well, the guy says that his dog had all the shots, and when I did have to tell before they'll treat you. I don't know if this is national or if this is just a North Carolina thing. In North Carolina, they will not treat you for a dog bite unless you tell them who the dog
really
was. Yeah,
that's awful.
Because they're like, we have to be able to go verify, if this if you have rabies or not.
Well, couldn't they just figure out if you have, like, what do they just cut off your head or something? Figure out.
That's one way of doing it. Mm-hmm. The other way is just check their immunization records.
Mm.
But, I had to get my tetanus shot because, as I learned, tetanus does not live in rusty metal. It lives in dirt.
Mm.
And dogs eat dirt, which is why you have to get a tetanus shot when a dog bites you. But yeah, that's why we couldn't record a show last week. I was recovering from being marred by an animal, a vicious animal.
And meanwhile, Dan, that weekend I was in beautiful Chattanooga, Tennessee, the last great hillbilly town in America.
The hipsters haven't ruined the hillbilly vibe yet.
It is not quite. It is like this wonderful mix of hipsters and hillbillies, and it's like when you see a picture of like a capybara and an alligator like sitting together and just hanging out, and you're like, how does this work? It's because, like, everyone kind of loves hills. That's kind of how that works.
My feeling on Tennessee has always been East Tennessee and West Tennessee are great. Just cut the middle out.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, and then just leave me the left and the right
of Tennessee. Well, hill people are always pretty big. I'll tell you this. Folk. I'd rather be in Chattanooga than, like, Nashville.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's no Gatlin.
Well, what is?
It's pretty great.
But I had a blast in Chattanooga. A lot of fun.
The best thing about mountain folk, though, mountain hillbillies, is that, you know, they might have some, let's say, right-wing opinions on certain social issues.
Yeah.
But they still hate cops.
Yeah, they're pretty
that's
progressive.
That's the one thing about mountain
you
know, people.
Way, a little more progressive than you would think when you run into something. That's what, because Dan, I had a, while we were, I attended a wedding, and after the reception, we all went to a karaoke. And I had a little bit too much to drink and just another stuff, and had to take a breath and sit outside for a little bit. And I listened to a fascinating political three men, and didn't interject, just listen. I was shocked to find out that the bouncer at our bar for Barack Obama is a guy you would never think voted for Barack Obama. A big, fat, bald man who works as a bouncer in Chattanooga, Tennessee, but has never voted for a Republican in his life.
There you go.
But he said he would have voted for Colin Powell, which maybe makes him the most woke white man.
But the thing about white people is that mountain people in Tennessee is that like the song, their regional song is all about murdering federal agents who come snooping in things that ain't their business.
And this little thing, they love money from free money. Well, they love getting stuff, which is a wild thing that I think that the left party in America kind of forgets sometimes. Is people love free stuff. Yeah. It's wild. And if you give it to them, they'll probably vote for it.
There you go.
Yeah, that's why, why...
Almost like people vote to get things.
Like, why is PBS not doing well? Because you have to pay to get your tote bag. Why does, say, the radio station do so much better? Because they just give you a free pin or something. You know?
How dare you? I'm a donor to PBS. And I am able to take one free trip to any PBS station of my choice for a tour.
Ooh, have you actually done, is that like something you get?
Yeah. Well, at least it does with my giving level. Mm. I don't know about yours.
Did you get anything free? I mean, not free. Did you get like a DVD or like, what did they give you, like CD?
One, you get access to their Netflix thing.
Okay, you can probably like find everything.
Well, the thing is, their website kind of blows and doesn't work that well. And mostly, the only thing anybody wants to watch is the Great British Baking Show, which is on like five other streaming services. Yeah. But you also get to watch all the Frontline and Nova that you want. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was
going to
say,
worth it.
And, like, the Ken Burns stuff, that's all like old Netflix.
Is Ken Burns still on that?
I think I watched two Ken Burns docs.
I know he used to be.
Yeah, I don't know
he used
still
to
not.
Be all over.
This was like 2 years ago.
But you also get a bunch of British shows, which I think now you can't see those shows because they put everything on that BritBox thing that they want to try to get you to
sign
up.
Well, and like
for.
If you get and if you like does it most like middle tier cable packages have to be already anyway?
Yeah, but that's now become.
But that's like the show, like the
BBC
Xbox
America. Yeah, BBC America one.
It's just like Sci-Fi Channel Part Two, right?
Yeah, and it also is like they don't just show like BBC stuff. They show like basically any like they syndicate basically anything that's on in England.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like I think the last time I flipped by like the X-Files,
which obviously that's
people,
what you
I would assume people in England loved some fuck and Friends because Matt LeBlanc, a pretty big deal.
I've been told.
People forget that, Matthew LeBlanc.
People forget that everything in England is like 10 years behind America.
So yeah, if you listen to last week and or 2 weeks ago and you're expecting a big rundown of 2000 Votek versus Syracuse, you're not getting it. And will we ever get back to it? Probably not. The game wasn't that.
Yeah.
Watching young Dwight Freeney was fun, though, we'll say. And Syracuse, though, was a pretty boring ass. Unless you like really bad options.
Yeah, not like fun Nebraska option where they run like every kind of option play. It's just like lining up in the I formation and running the triple option to the far side.
Probably the most, if I actually could like break down that game if you just watch like Dwight versus him versus Michael Vick was kind of like a fascinating matchup all night. But that's about it with that. So we're not going to do that.
Also, you go back and you watch Virginia Tech with Michael Vick and it's literally just line up in the I, hand it off, and then bootleg.
Yeah. Or, like, goes for a pass. Or if he does throw, it's, like, a million miles an hour and, like, 10 feet over the receiver's head. Michael Vick really didn't, like, kind of figure things out until his second or third year, I think, in the NFL in terms of, like, the ability to pass okay.
I mean, he had a great arm. He just was extremely raw with his
throw. Yeah, like, his issue was he probably, and I don't know if they're ready for it or whatever, like, probably Botek wasn't the best place to like bring up.
He went to a college close to home, not where was the best college to develop.
Yeah. So there you go with that. So, but we are gonna look at some exciting sports, Dan. I guess the NBA draft, which is something we didn't cover last week. And that was a range of emotions, I think, when he told me we weren't doing the show. the Hawks made a probably a controversial move, but you know what? Now I'm sold on Trae Young. Future, baby. We're going to do it. We're going to be the very poor man's Golden State. Very excited about that.
You can't beat that.
You got Red Mamba, the new Klay Thompson, very from Maryland. I think Maryland. I don't know the kid's real name. Kevin something. Trae Young is the shitty Steph Curry. And then I think they drafted another guy who can be kind of like Draymond. So it's an exciting time. But I will say, Dan, the reaction from Hawks fans may be one of the most negative reactions from an Atlanta sports team move in a long time. People are not happy about trading away Luka Doncic, Dan. So I want to get your thoughts on that. But I have an opinion. I'm like, well, maybe... Like, Luka Doncic may be a better player, but maybe he wouldn't have been on the Hawks if he was with
Well, him. I think part of it is that all, like, the vast majority of these players are going to be short. And so, like, temper your, like, just calm down,
yeah.
Basically. Don't freak out too much about this player or that player or this, or, like, who got this guy or who got that guy, because the vast majority of these guys are going to be
short. Yeah.
So don't worry about it. You know, the European dude, obviously... He's got, like, he's been playing professional basketball, and apparently he's been, like, the best player on a top-end European team since he was, like, 16. So, you know, great for him, but I don't know.
Well, my thing with that, though, like, you bring that top-end team, right? The Hawks really aren't a top-end team, and I think even if you kind of, would they beat Real Madrid in a game? Maybe not, you know, even with the NBA players. You know, when your best player is, like, Kent Bazemore and Dwayne Dedman, you're not that well off, and I'm not sure Doncic's the type of guy who's going to do so well on, like, a skeleton roster, basically. I think going to Dallas, though, you're around a lot more talent. Instantly, you got your boy Dennis Smith Jr. I mean, Harrison Barnes is a guy who can play real-life professional basketball. I mean, you got the ghost of Dirk Nowitzki there to kind of show him the way. Rick Carlisle's a great coach. I just think, I think he's going to do well in Dallas, but I don't think he would have done well, if that makes sense.
There's something to that. There's something to that.
Because I think, like, too often we forget that we're, like, guys are really good because they land in the right opportunity. Like, if Jordan got drafted to the Trailblazers instead of Sam Bowie, would he have been as good? Maybe not.
Yeah, because that was a better situation than the one
Chicago
he went to.
Okay. I'm sure there's a situation I could bring. Durant. Maybe Durant to Portland.
Well, like, Karl Malone. If Karl Malone doesn't go and play in that pick and roll for years, does he become the Hall of Fame player that he becomes? Maybe not.
Yeah.
You know, if Karl Malone plays for, like, an unstable – because, like, Karl Malone, part of the thing that made him such a great Hall of Famer was, like, his consistency and his hard work and
practice
habits.
Well, and, like,
he habits.
Had one of the best coaches in NBA history.
But, yeah, he didn't play his whole career for – Sloan was an assistant on that team when he first got there. They had a – but, like, they promoted from within when the other coach retired. Like, if he had ended up on some chaotic
– like the Suns
where, like
– or, like, who was bad.
Like the, or, like, the 80s – the 80s Cavaliers.
Yeah.
Which was, like, a completely dysfunctional franchise. Or the Clippers, where, like, they went
or
through
the
coaches
Kings.
Left and right. Or the Kings, with Bill Russell as the coach. Like, if he had ended up on a situation like that, would he have ended up with the same practice habits and the same... Maybe not. Yeah. And maybe he wouldn't have been the same kind of player.
Well, you know,
he might end up being Derek Coleman.
And even to compare to, like, other sports, you know, Tom Brady probably sitting on the Patriots. Is he as good? Maybe he never really gets the chance to prove it. Or, like, maybe he's helped by being coached up by Belichick, who's one of the best schemers ever. Tom Brady turned out as good if he ends up on the Dolphins. Probably not.
Yeah.
You know?
I think we always want to, like, look at great players and like, we want to believe they would be great anywhere because otherwise we start thinking that this is maybe kind of meaningless.
Well, Dan, it is. And it kind of goes into, like, I think, though, too, like, kind of like that American capitalist bootstraps idea where it's like, well, no, you're really successful because of, like, circumstances around you. You know, and are some people exceptional? Of course. But, like, they're usually helped out, whether a community or a family that's well off or one lucky break or something like that. A lot of success is circumstantial. That doesn't mean you don't try, but...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I think some of it's that, though, where, like, well, that was dumb. And it's like, well, no, like, if you end up in, like, if Steve Jobs ended up at, like, Atari, well, like, if he stayed at Atari, he probably wouldn't have been very successful, you know? Would Atari have, you know, changed the world? No. Probably would be just dead earlier, I would assume, you know?
I don't know. If he hadn't had years of people telling him he was the greatest genius of all time, he might have just gone to a hospital like a normal person.
Or maybe just eaten some meat, because, like, didn't he pretty much just die because, like, he just brewed all the time?
No, he had, like, no. He had an extremely easily-to-treat cancer that instead of going to the doctor... He just, like, did this, like, herbal diet that he thought would cure his cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time he went to a real doctor, this extremely benign, almost nobody ever dies of this cancer, had metastasized into his, like, liver and lungs and brain, yeah, and it killed him. So he basically died of, like, that shitty skin cancer that you get that, like, anybody goes to the doctor and gets cut out.
Well, like, do you remember, like,
a big deal?
Did you watch, like, Arrested Development?
No.
Well, there's a part where David Cross's character gets hair plugs, and it's, like, slowly killing him. And it's, like, they throw a big benefit for him, and it's just get him removed. The most easiest thing, you know, the easiest thing possible. I think that is, like, a rich person thing, though, right? Where, like, you just get, like, a preventable disease, and you're like, fuck, I'm not doing these fucking food. I'm going to do something genius and change the world, you know? Like, oh, I got Lyme disease? Well, fuck this. I'm going to sit in a bed of ticks. That's how you get rid of it, you know?
Lyme disease is pretty gnarly, though.
Yeah.
I don't want to ever get
Lyme
disease.
Or, like, scurvy. I'm not going to eat some fucking citrus. I'm going to eat a goddamn banana and get rid of it, you know?
Bananas are actually good for scurvy.
Are they? What's not good for, like, watermelon?
Lemons, actually. Even though they have
really?
Citrus in them. Yeah, lemons are terrible for it.
Well, like,
limes.
Limes are good?
You want to eat oranges and limes.
You know, the worst thing is, I'd rather eat a lemon than a lime.
Why?
I think lemons taste, put a little salt on a lemon, get the enamel off your teeth. It's a lot of fun. I used to do that as a kid, put salt on lemons and eat them.
I used to eat lemons as a child.
Yeah. It's just
clearly,
like,
this means we were destined to do a podcast.
Yeah. No, that's just normal kid stuff. Lots of kids just eat lemons.
I'm not sure this is quite as normal.
Just like, I'm walking around, all these hip cats are just biting into lemons, man. Just like, that's what the kids
that's
are doing.
That's just the thing to do.
Yeah, that's what all the SoundCloud rappers do. That's what they're rapping about, biting into lemons. That's why that one guy got shot.
XXX. Triple it.
Tenacious D? Yes, Tenacious D was shot.
The fat guy who plays guitar,
yeah, my,
got fucking murdered.
I will say with that, though, with that rapper being shot, that's like the first time I kind of realized it. That was the first time I was like, oh, I am really old. Teenagers love that guy. And I think I was reading like some like pretty decent writing about him, and like he did connect with them in a way that I don't think we can really understand. That makes sense, because, like, Generation Z is a very depressed, like, nihilistic generation, you know?
Because,
like...
They have no social contact whatsoever?
No, it's just they have no fucking future. Like, everything's falling apart around them. They're incredibly lonely, even though they're so connected. It's just awful.
They've never... Like, we were indoor kids, but at least when we were kids, like, you went over to other people's house to play Goldeneye.
Yeah.
On split screen. Whereas they don't even get that.
No,
like,
and now you're
they're,
playing...
They're literally
like,
just playing Xbox Live.
Yeah, with, like, someone across the world who's just, like, a dick to them. And it's not, like, fun bro being a dick. It's, like, troll being a dick.
Like, it's not, like, a guy next to you going, uh-huh, I'm humping you on Halo.
Yeah.
And then, like, and then you go have orange slices.
Yeah.
You know?
Or, like, hit him in the head with something. You know, just fun... Hit him in the head with a, you know, a little pillow fight, and then you start making out. Just normal guy stuff, you know?
Yeah, normal guy
stuff. You don't get any of that anymore, you know? And that's the real... And that's why I think Luka Doncic probably will work out.
I think the other reason why so many young people in Generation Z are fucked up is because YouTube is intentionally trying to turn everybody into a Jordan Peterson watcher. How many Jordan Peterson videos do you
get
suggested on YouTube?
Because, like, my YouTube's so weird, like, it'll be, like a technical breakdown of, like, the Atari 2600, because, like, that's the kind of shit I like for some reason, and then, like, 1998 Oklahoma versus, like, BYU, and then, like,
yes.
1995 episode, like, WCW, which
see,
is, like,
I
a show
made the,
people don't even know about.
The biggest mistake of my life, I think, was, like, for a time, I was watching a lot of, like, Joe Rogan MMA stuff on YouTube. And now that means I get the guy who thinks Muslims are coming to kill him, and so he hides in his closet every night.
Is it the rockabilly guy?
Peterson. The new atheism guy.
Who's He's the like, rockabilly guy?
That's the Tesla guy, isn't it?
Elon Musk?
Yeah, Elon Musk. He's rockabilly.
No, there's
as
like
fuck,
a,
isn't he?
There's like a rockabilly
Oh, there's the guy.
Guy
who gives like rockabilly tips.
Yeah, and like, he moved to Russia.
Sometimes you just gotta rumble.
Yeah, well, like, he moved to like, Russia because, like, America wasn't racist enough or something ridiculous. Like,
well, there was not enough, like, room to get into rumbles.
Yeah.
So he had to, like, move to Russia where you can rumble.
Yeah. Like, a guy who just, like, is obsessed with the Outsiders.
Man, that 90s, like, swing dancing thing fucked a lot of people up.
You could probably go back and probably. Was it the Cherry Poppers?
Swingers.
The Big Bad Voodoo Daddies.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy of Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
Yeah. Swing Suit Riot.
Zoot Suit Riot.
All that
which
stuff.
Gave us the classic Weird Al song.
Yeah.
Grapefruit Diet.
Off the hit album. Which one?
Albuquerque.
Is it Albuquerque?
Running with Scissors. Running with Scissors was the name of the album.
Was that the one with the American Pie? That
was the one with the episode one American Pie parody.
And
it had
Albuquerque.
10 minutes too long?
Yeah.
Albuquerque I would put that in top five Weird Al songs.
Yeah. Well, I spent a lot of time, like, I'm looking at a Sega Dreamcast right now, and most of, like, my, I want to say, like, sixth or seventh grade year was spent playing, like, NFL Blitz or, like, NFL 2K and listening to Weird Al like a normal boy in my room,
sure.
In my gamer's chair. And that's what kids don't really get now, you know. They're just playing the shoot 'em ups. They're not playing nice, clean, fun games. Like,
yeah. And, like, apparently the AAA games industry is crashing because it's become so expensive to make a AAA video game that...
You know, that's why they're all...
They basically... They can't make, like, everything has to be so generic to try to appeal to the widest amount of people.
Unless
that
you're,
they're
unless
actually
you're
making
like Rockstar,
shit games.
And then, like, you just make, like, $1 billion. Like, probably because you actually
and
make
you can game. And you can make the weirdest shit in the world. Like, they made a Western game.
Yeah.
Which has been, like, the white whale of video games for
well,
20
and, like,
years.
Grand Theft Auto 5 made, what, like, $1 billion or something ridiculous, like...
And now they're still making money off of it?
Yeah,
like
GTA Online
thing.
Is like, Rockstar knows how to nail it. I think the real key to nail it is be really misogynist and kind of racist. That's what we are, you know?
But with a wink, where it's like, oh, we're not the racist.
This is satire.
We're making fun of the racist.
Yeah. I still like I just replayed GTA 5. That's a great game, to say.
It's a lot better than GTA 4. We can all admit that.
But, like, GTA 4 laid the groundwork. Kind of like back, you know, when we talk about some coaches lay the groundwork for success later. That's what GTA 4 did. Did it win a championship? No.
Extremely depressing.
Who would have thought Eastern European-based character would be depressing? Like, the most depressing people in the world. Like, not even a fun accent. You know? Like, you hear that accent, and you're like, oh, I want to sell
it's
that.
Me, your cousin.
Mamma mia, I'm GTA 4.
Mamma mia, I'm from Russia.
No, Roman, not right now. GTA 4 was okay, though.
So. By okay, you mean terrible.
You could play, like, darts.
Oh, man, that's what I want from my video game experience.
I did
do a lot of yoga in GTA 5.
I spent a lot of time in Red Dead Redemption, like, playing Pokemon Black. Like, that's how I learned. I'd never played poker in my life until, like, Red Dead, and, like, that's how it was.
I cheated a lot in Red Dead. I would always get the elegant suit so I could cheat.
Ooh. Speaking of excited, how hyped are we for Red Dead?
I've already bought it, so.
Yeah,
I bought it, like, a year and a half ago as soon as they announced it.
I pre-ordered it, but I don't know at which GameStop. I'm still not sure which one to finish paying it off at, and I'd rather just buy it digitally, so.
Yeah, I also bought mine on Amazon, and it was supposed to send it to me the day of, and now I've gotten into buying, like, because at the time it was like, oh, don't buy games on your download,
it
takes up too much space.
But it's like, I'm not going to play these games fucking now, you know? Or I'm just going to rebuy. And, like,
and it's also like, well, yeah, the game, the disc will just get worn out, and then
I'll
have to rebuy it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's generally bad. And, like with GTA 5, like, I think I traded it in a long time ago. Like, I wish I just owned it to re-download it. I did that with Madden recently. I was like, I just want to play some football right now. I just was there. Just re-downloaded it. It was a lot of fun. But, Dan, let's focus. Let's bring it back to sports. And let's talk.
You sure you don't want to just keep talking about,
new gaming? Get ready for our new Twitch stream where I play the new Madden.
I just scream racism.
Yeah.
Like, it.
And I just restart.
There's no logic to anything I say. It's just pure racism.
But I play Madden in a way where, like, I end up playing, like, 10 different franchises in a day because I'm like, you know what? It would be more fun to, like, rebuild them. And then, like, halfway through, you're like, man, fixing up the Bears would be a lot more fun. And then next thing you know, you wasted time building a team.
I just want to make sure that this year's Madden lets me move the Raiders to Vegas. That's all I want.
Yeah. or at least do it automatically. That would be cool.
Because like last year, they would not let you move anybody.
And no, I think you know. Like, I think when you updated it, you could.
Oh, you could.
Want to say like I remember playing it like in January, like after everyone.
Well, that's really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Well, the best was like when you moved a team back to St. Louis, you just had to keep your logo, and you're too lazy to just like whip up like a St. Louis Blues ripoff logo or something. Are they?
Well, that's the only one. The only team worth moving to is Houston, so you can be the Oilers again.
Yes,
but then there's already a team there. Like, I always go, why can't I just turn the Texans into the Oilers?
Yeah, because, like, even though I'm playing a video game, I'm still principled. I'm like, Houston should not have two NFL teams.
There's no way.
Well, you could just, like,
Houston has barely ever supported one team.
Yeah, you could just play with the Titans, the Oilers.
But that's retarded. Because, like, Tennessee has no oil.
But they have Mariota. Well, they have some oil. She was hair in Nashville, Dan.
How dare you? How dare you? That's the worst joke you've ever seen.
Like Lyle Lovett in other countries.
Lyle Lovett, one of America's most popular stars.
He was married to Julia Roberts. People forget that.
Another extremely popular and well-known star in 2018. Aaron Brockovich was on in the background of The Office, and I was like, hey, that was the movie where everybody talked about how sexy she was.
What was the last
And she just Roberts looked like somebody's movie. Mom.
Like Mother's Day?
I feel like the last big Julia Roberts movie was Aaron Brockovich.
No, it was Eat, Pray, Love.
Was that movie all that big?
Well, I assumed it did well.
I know the book was huge, but I'm not sure about that movie.
It had to make its book. Because you have all those like old white women.
But I don't think it was like big in the culture.
Well,
so.
No, but like, because like 4-year-old white women.
That's almost like those Da Vinci Code movies, where like, I don't know a single person who saw them, but they made a second one, so
I read somebody went and saw it. I read the last book. I remember halfway through thinking, man, Dan Brown, not a very good
He's
writer.
A terrible writer.
This is not enthralling at all. And I was like, well, let's see what the ending is. You get to the ending, and it's like some bullshit, we were all God kind of bullshit ending. I'm just like, what? You couldn't just give me like a definitive thing? You had to like push your bullshit philosophy on me here?
Yeah, you couldn't just, you had to go secret on me?
Yeah, like, it's like, no, God's inside all of us. And it's like, fuck. Could have a Sunday school teacher could have told me that. You give me something exciting, you know?
Yeah, the thing about Dan Brown books is that you can always have a drinking game where you'll be dead by the end of the book by just like picking out what phrase he repeats over and over and over again because he's a hack writer.
No, well, he is.
If you want to destroy your liver, go pick up Da Vinci Code. Get you 3 bottles of liquor. Well, pour yourself a shot.
You can
and
only
drink
read
it.
Though, Dan. You can only read a Dan Brown book at the year in like 2004.
Well, I'm saying go to your local library because they'll still have a copy of. Get yourself a copy of Da Vinci Code with the jacket ripped off. Go buy yourself some like. Do they still sell diesel in liquor stores? Or are they banned that?
I don't know, but Dan, you know what I bought on the way to Chattanooga? We had to drop off my friend's parents' dog at one of his friend's house, and I ended up in a beautiful town called Ranger, Georgia. I had no internet signal, nothing, because I have Sprint, and Sprint doesn't work if there's not, like, a million people. And I bought a little alcoholic drink called Johnny Bootlegger, which I believe is the white trash version of Mad Dog 2020. And it was delicious. Let me tell you.
I could not drink Mad Dog in college.
I do, but every road trip, Dan, listen, we got to stop at this podunk gas station, and I'm going to buy whatever weird spirit they have.
I was always a big fan of nitro. That was my hobo.
Oh, what's the Irish alcohol. Rose? I'm a big Irish
fan. Yeah, I like nitrine. Because Rose, again, too sweet.
That's kind of what I'm on the road trip. Like, I want to taste like you melted a popsicle in, like, battery acids.
Thunderbird I could not drink because I'm not a huge white wine fan anyway, but, like, cheap white wine.
Yeah.
Made for hobos, I can't.
Well, also bought like I bought a Bud Light Orange Arita as well to go with my Johnny Bootlegger. That was not as interesting. Bud Light has not really nailed like trashy,
which is stunning because that should be
that should be their wheelhouse, but like they just can't, I guess, get over that because I think they're trying to make it too good. But well, I did want to bring it back to sports, Dan, because you did have a story about Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah,
and someone that I would that I haven't heard about.
So I'm kind of stunned that Jimbo Fisher made the comments that he ended up making. Because, look, he's got enough pressure on him, I would think, without, like, talking smack about the previous coach, who ended up being the most successful coach Texas A&M has had since Bear Bryant.
Yeah.
I would think, considering how much pressure you've already got on you because you just signed the biggest guaranteed contract in the history of college football, you know, I would think that you would, you know, not want to heap any more on top of your...
Yeah.
But, you know, instead, he did the typical, like, he did the typical thing that, you know, classless coaches do when they take over for successful coaches who weren't quite successful enough. He had a couple quotes, and here's one of them. We're getting more physical every day, which who gives a shit? Like, every coach says that when they take over. Like, the guy before him coached like a pussy. All of his players couldn't hit. Now we're going to have some real men.
Yeah. It's like a classic SEC. These guys are all queers. They're sucking each other's dicks. Now I got these guys fucking titties. They're doing it.
So, the next quote was that he's gotten rid of music during practice.
Yeah,
it was a Kevin Sumlin thing.
Yeah, no more of that darky bullshit music. Get rid of that because it's no successful football team has ever listened to.
No.
Yeah.
How in the heck can you hear when you coach? Can they hear when you coach them? I'm trying to coach them. Are they going to listen to the song? Or are they going to listen to me? Which, again, that's small dick-itis right there. Like, you know, you can't understand the idea that people might be able to listen to music and listen to you. Or that music might help them lock in your concepts because they associate it with a song,
and
which is easier to remember.
Football might be a little rhythm-based. Are you implying that sports and rhythm may go hand-in-hand more than, like, maybe an old white guy would think?
Yeah, also, like, if you've ever had to learn a part in a play of any kind, you memorize lines by singing
them.
Well,
not fucking Jimbo Fisher, because he's not into that queer fucking... That's another thing he got rid of, Dan, was the annual play.
He was especially mad that the kickers all had to play the women, because, you know, they're the only ones who could fit in a dress.
For some reason, it was Oklahoma. Because there's no good plays about Texas.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, there's in the Biggest Little Whorehouse.
Okay,
in Texas, isn't that also a play?
You can't do the A&M's a Christian.
It's a school that thinks it's a military school.
Yeah, but also thinks like it's a Christian school, right? Like it's a weird, but it's like a state school.
It's a state school with like, but it used to be like a military cadet school,
but
and they still have the cadets.
But is it
there.
Like a Citadel situation where they're not really in the military?
They've never been associated
with
like the military officially. It's basically like
they're just stealing
a
valor.
Lot of, yeah, they're valor thieves. It's Felix Biedermann University.
If he knew about A&M, he'd probably be.
But the last quote, the one that everyone's talking about the most, is when Jimbo Fisher was mad about the office he's taken over, formerly Kevin Sumlin's office, because he said, it's like a damn nightclub in there.
There's
this ain't
cocaine.
Gonna be my office. And nobody really knows what he's talking about, because one, he's nuts, but two, apparently people are saying it's because it was so dark in there. Like, apparently Kevin Sumlin likes a dark office. He don't like a lot of light.
Good eyesight.
But, you know, the Jimbo Fisher might have also, just not like that he had, like, speakers in his office to, like, listen to music himself.
Maybe. I see Jimbo Fisher as, like, one of those guys who, like, never looked. Like, him.
He
like,
only knows. He has a Kenny Chesney album. Like, the one that has She Thinks My Tractor's
yeah,
Sexy.
Yeah, but, like, he doesn't really like it. He just bought it.
It's the one CD in his car.
Yeah, he's never.
What's the most Southern divorced dad album you can think of for a man of Jimbo's age?
Probably Chesney or like Brad Paisley. Ooh, no, like Brooks and Dunn, Greatest Hits.
Memory.
Or like, what's that guy who the song where like they had to think
Trace
the truth?
Adkins.
No, what was the song where they had to think the
Toby Keith?
No, it was like, dur, dur, dur. That's something to be proud of. Who are those guys?
I don't know.
That's something to be proud of. Dur, 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 dur. I don't remember.
I feel like I can see Jimbo jamming along to Honky Tonk Badonkadonk.
Ooh.
From like 2000,
like yeah, I'd be like, I'm listening to this N-word stuff. This is hip hop.
Yeah, I relate to the players.
Like it's like the opposite of Saban, who like probably like he probably listened to like XXX.
Oh yeah, Jim Nick Saban is so obsessed with recruiting.
Yeah, like
that I guarantee
he's,
you,
he's got like
somebody
SoundCloud.
Make him a SoundCloud mixtape of like the dead rapper guy.
Yeah,
like, he knew XXX Tenacious.
Yeah,
or
like
whatever
he probably
his name
texted. Was like, oh, I was fucked up, man. I heard of success.
And it's just because that's how obsessed with victory Nick Saban is.
Yeah.
That well, he's going to learn, Saban, like, all the rappers people listen to at 17.
Like, every year. He gets, like, what's that, like, magazine that does, like, the hottest, like, new hip-hop art at, like, 6X or whatever? Like, XXL. Perhaps, like, some hip-hop magazine. They do, like, the hottest artist every year. Saban, like, gets that and comes out through it.
He's got like one of their they're not assistants. What are they called? Analysts.
Yeah.
They've got one analyst whose job is just to be up on the what music the 17-year-olds are listening.
He's listening to like what's that guy like 69-1-1 or what? Like the white kid with the dreads or whatever who like raped a minor.
raped a dog. Like
he's got that. I buy that. I 100% buy it. Saying
I can't listen to this around Miss Terry, but you know. It's pretty good. It just ends up sounding like Hank Hill about everything. Like, I don't know about this, but well, it's got a good sound to it.
What fuck? You know, you notice Alabama went down when, like, ringtone rap kind of went out of style? Because he could learn all the dances. That's what Saban's the best at, is dancing. So, like,
sure.
Laffy Taffy, Walk It Out, all that shit. That's when Saban was at his, yeah, do the Bernie, all that fun. And now there's really no more dance hip-hop songs. It's all about, like, wanting to kill yourself, so.
It's all, you know,
or
but,
like,
you know.
Or like, yeah, or trap, like, can you imagine, like, Saban, like, smoking crack, to, or making crack to, like, understand
like,
trap
like, he's music. Just, yeah, I'm a huge fan of 69 Funk.
Or the Migos. I love them.
But then he can, like, actually quote lyrics, because, like, that's how obsessed he is with victory. Yeah. Whereas, like, Jimbo Fisher is gonna, but see, Spurrier was, like, the opposite. It was like, I don't give a shit what you guys listen to.
Yeah.
I don't listen to Ken Chesney and Jimmy Buffett.
But like he's not like
if y'all like it, that's fine.
Yeah, because like, well, that's why Spurrier is like the best you can be if you're like an old white guy. She's like, I don't give a fuck about you. Just be good at football. And welcome back. Little error there. So Dan's gonna sound a little bit different.
A little, yeah. I'm on a different connection. The internet is what it is.
Yeah. No, we were talking about. You want to wrap up on Jimbo really quick? We roasted Jimbo.
Yeah, the thing about Jimbo, and I think deep down he really has no idea what he's walked in. Like, I think he just looked at it as, well, it's an SEC job in the state of Texas, and I'm sick of being at Florida State. I'm sick of their administration. I'm sick of their boosters. They're offering me a lot of money. I'll take it. I don't think he realizes that the place he's gone, like Texas A&M has always had a lot of money, and it's always been in the state of Texas. But why have they never won? Well, there's one of the reasons Bear Bryant left is because they didn't have no girls on campus. Like, it was an all-male cadet college until, like, 1948. And even by the time Bear Bryant was there, they had a tough time getting girls to come to that college. And he's like, I ain't coaching no place where there ain't no girls because ain't no top-end football player going to come to a college where there ain't no co-ed. Which sounds a little crass, but that's the reality. Texas A&M has a very weird, insular, military, stodgy culture on campus, which ain't exactly the kind of thing that is conducive to recruiting top players. Kevin Sumlin did the things he did, created the kind of culture he created, which did have some negatives, obviously. I mean, Johnny Manziel probably had untreated alcoholism playing at Texas A&M. But, he did the things he did to create an atmosphere at Texas A&M because Texas A&M's brand and its culture before he got there was so oppressively shitty that they could not get top players to go there. And Jimbo Fisher going back to that militaristic, stodgy, old man 80s football culture, I don't think that's the way forward for Texas A&M. That's been what they've been doing for 40 years, and it ain't worked yet. So Jimbo Fisher shitting all over the guy who had more success at Texas A&M than anybody since Bear Bryant, to me, is insanity.
Yeah. I think the moral of this week's show is Jimbo Fisher's.
And it's going to be very funny to see Texas A&M people in year three when Jimbo hasn't won 9 games yet. And they're just sitting there going, what's it? We can pay his buyout. We got money. Yeehaw, yeah. Oil.
It's almost like he went at FSU because he maybe had one of the most talented football teams in history of football that no one wants to talk about.
Yeah. And the ACC was still shitty, so he had an easy road playoffs.
Yeah. Well, it was the year before the play started.
So he didn't have to play a semifinal against a top-end team.
Yeah, and Auburn blew like a giant. But anyway, Dale, before we get out of here, I think next week we're going to take a trip back to the cinema. A little summer blockbuster action. And do we just want to go ahead and just do this movie?
Let's do this.
That's right. We are doing the classic sports film, Over the Top, starring Sylvester Stallone as an arm wrestler, as a truck driver who arm wrestles to get his daughter back.
His son.
Same thing.
Gender's made up.
It's a kid. It's a kid before puberty. They don't have a fucking job.
I believe he used he, him pronoun.
So yeah, that's what we're going to do. It's available on Amazon Prime. So if you have that, you can watch this classic film for free and join us. Because this is going to be a fun, I think this will be a little more fun than The Love Guru was last year.
That made us want to shoot ourselves.
That was a bad pick. Because we were like, oh, this is bad. This will be funny and bad. Just awful.
It was a 90s SNL movie in the 2000s.
Yeah, starring Bert Schreier.
Which is a recipe for horror.
With, like, what was the weird, like, Justin Timberlake was in it randomly or something?
Justin Timberlake played,
the
man trying to steal his girl of the lead character.
He had a big penis, that was the joke.
His name was Jacques Lecoq Grand.
Jacques Lecoq. That is funny, though. I'm sorry. But it was just an SNL skit. Turned into a five-hour movie.
I mean, it might have been just an hour and 15 minutes, but it felt like seven hours.
Yeah, but this one, Dan, I got a good thing. I think I've seen Over the Top in under 20 years.
Well, look, this is from Canon Film, so you know it's good.
Yeah, so that'll be us next week, going back to the movies. So anything else before we get out of here?
Remember to vaccinate your dogs. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, but don't vax your kids.
Also. Sure.
That's it
for me. and remember, if you don't vaccinate your kids, go give yourself rabies. I hear it prevents giving autism to your kids if you catch rabies.
Yeah, and you know who vaccinates their kids? Australia. So fuck Australia. And fuck the Queen.
And play the music, Jason.